Hello and welcome to Law and Order S Review here on Fanversation. I am Yael Teagle. That's Taylor Gates. Hello, Taylor.
Hello.
Hello. Hello to our live chat. Danny was not only here live, but also was early. So you get a shout out.
Yay, Danny.
Just because I saw that when I logged in, I was like, all right, Danny.
Welcome. I love it when people are propped.
We're not,
but I like it when people are.
Thank you so much for joining us for season 25, episode 13, the season finale of Law and Order SVU. Season finale. Don't worry, there'll be a new season next year. This is Duty to Hope. Before we jump into this episode, as a reminder, if you were assaulted, if you need help, please reach out to Rain. Their number is 1-800-656-4673. I just started saying numbers and I wasn't sure.
Yeah, you glitched a little.
I did. But Taylor, what does 4673 spell?
It spells hope.
It's a duty to hope. Nice.
We're on the same wavelength there.
We really are. We all have people live in our chat with us today. I love it. Daryl is here. Alexa is here. Hello. Danny says the finale was a mess all over the place. Well, we'll jump into that in just a second. As a reminder, consider this your content warning. This episode very much dealt with serious things. There was a serial rapist. I cannot wait to get to what did we learn. I'm going to destroy you all. And I'm going to teach you things you don't want to know. I'm so sorry and excited. So consider this your content warning. We're going to get weird and you're going to get uncomfortable today. This is your content warning. That's what we do here on S Review, and that's okay. Yeah. Here is the quick cap. The SVU searches for a pattern assailant before his crimes escalate to murder. Finn must contend with a suspect's aggravated son. Carisi is pressured to close the case quickly to ease public concern. Taylor, what do you want to start with? There's so much.
No, I'm with Danny that it was all over the place. Like, so much happened, but also nothing really happened. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. There's not one thing. I mean, there was a lot of things that, like, should have been, like, whoa, like, blah, blah, blah. But, like, nothing really happened? I don't know. It just felt so... It was weird. It was a weird vibe. Like, there was a shootout, like, a very extreme one. But, like, it kind of didn't matter because none of our people were, like, injured whatsoever. I mean, there's the Finn thing, but that was also insane. Like, that whole thing was just crazy. So, and I never felt he was in real danger, frankly. I don't know. There was lots of choices that were made.
Okay. So, where do I want to start? Where do we want to start? Let's start with the case. Let's just start there.
Sure.
Okay. The wire hanger rapist. I'm going to start with...
Like, I'm so sorry, but, like, what a silly name. It's so serious. It's so bad. But, like, what a crazy name.
I'm going to try to find positives without just being like, here's all this shit I hated. He unscrews the light, but he sneaks in, unscrews the light bulbs to fake a power outage. Love that. I love a smart, a bad guy. Mm-hmm. That's a very clever, idea, except that the year is 2024. And, if you look at your phone, which you would probably do first to turn on the flashlight before you lit a candle, I'm just going to say it. Somebody here, tell me I'm wrong. The phone is in your hand because you're on it. You will then, in the dark, light a candle? No, you will use your flashlight on your phone. And when you look at your phone, you know what you will see? That your Wi-Fi is still connected. Yeah.
That's so true.
So you will know the power is out. I thought she was going to open the fridge because she was walking towards the fridge. And I was like, oh, if she opens the fridge, the light will be on in there. But if she thinks it's a power outage, she won't open the fridge because the power is out. But as soon as she looks at her phone to turn on the light, she'll see that the power is not out.
That's true.
Also, I guarantee you have other devices that are plugged in that have a light.
Yeah.
Like, I have a TV that when it's off, there's a red light. The router for the Wi-Fi has a light.
Even your microwave.
Your microwave has the clock on it. Like, there's so many things. It's such a clever idea, but she would have figured, especially this victim would have figured it out.
There's too many steps nowadays.
Right. So
there is.
Not to tell this rapist how to do this better.
Well, he shut off her power. Much of anything anymore, so it's fine.
Shut off her power. Actually.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that then we learn that he went light bulb by light bulb to turn them off and didn't leave a single fingerprint, like, understandable because he obviously was wearing gloves, but impressive. A lot of effort.
A lot of effort.
Okay. Coat hangers are very hard to use in ways such as wrapping someone's wrists.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because the first thing you have to do is untwist them, and that's the hardest part.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, what a choice.
You've literally made things more difficult for yourself, dude.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's something easier to bind her with.
There's so many things. But he wanted his calling card, I fear. He wanted to be known as the wire hanger rapist.
All right. Those are all of my complaints from that. Just the first, 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Then we meet ADA Heidi Russell, the chief of the trial division. Taylor, what are your thoughts on this new character?
I literally, my notes are, seems annoying. I love her. She has a power suit going on. She's a boss ass woman. That curly hair, like, she really did that up. She really thought she was eaten. And I thought she was awful, and I'd love to see more of her.
I was like, I hate her so much. Taylor's gonna love her.
Yeah. I mean, I love to hate her. Like, she's awful, but, like, get her back on my screen immediately.
So interesting. I don't even know, I don't even know how to feel about her. Is she, do we think she's gonna come back?
Like, it's a weird thing to introduce her if she's not.
To introduce her in the finale.
That's what I'm saying. Like, she has to be the more, we always have to have an annoying higher up, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, we had McGrath, even Tucker, I would say, was included in that, and, back in the day. And now we have Heidi Russell.
Danny, actually, I had the same thought. She reminded me of Hadid, totally. I had the same thought. It almost felt like it should have been Hadid. And they were like, that we're gonna have to explain too much.
Yeah. She was very similar.
Alexa in the chat, I also caught this and I thought it was very interesting. The porn stash reference made me think of Pablo Schreiber, William Lewis, because porn stash was his character's nickname on Orange is the New Black.
Yes.
So I had a very similar thought, and now I think he's even though the concept of a porn stash did not come from him, it has now been associated with him.
Mm-hmm.
So very interesting. I'm looking through. Okay, so we meet a victim, Ariel. Incredible performance, this girl. Let's do some actor shout outs. Ariel was played by Amber Stonebreaker. Fantastic performance. Like, when she was crying in the bed, amazing. In the hospital, I mean. Yeah. Heidi Russell, your new fave to hate.
Bye.
Kate Luprest, and also great performance. I hated her.
Yeah.
Hated her. Billy Hedges was played by Spencer Granisi. Officer Montero, who gets shot, he has been popping up all season long. This is not his first episode. That's Eddie Hargate. That is Mariska's cousin.
No way. Wait, that's so funny. I love that.
We've seen him in previous episodes this season as well as previous seasons. He's been around, so that's great. Toby the kid, played by Max Malis. Yes, thoughts?
So funny. I love him. Like, we'll talk about it. He cracked me up.
We'll get to him and stuff.
I love it. Don't get me wrong.
I want to talk about the fact that Ariel has a roommate. And here's why. So she's on the phone with her roommate. She comes in, the lights are out. She's like, did you forget to pay the electric bill? She has a roommate. Later, the roommate finds her. Where was the roommate? The roommate was off having a fling, having a great night. From what we understand about this roommate, and this is not me slut shaming, but the roommate's a slut, which is great. The whole thing about how Billy's fingerprint got into the room, mm-hmm. I was shouting for most of the episode, he slept with the roommate. Mm. Like, that's why his fingerprint is inside. He has no memory of this girl because he didn't meet her. He may not even remember the address. He slept with the roommate.
Yeah, that would have been good. We didn't. I always just think there's an evil roommate because there usually is. Yeah, but we didn't really go down that path at all. But that's true. That's a good point.
The fact that that wasn't even considered, and instead, this took us down the most ridiculous tangent that led nowhere. And the fact that, like, we have a very clear example of railroading somebody and his public defender convincing him to plead guilty, and then Carisi and Finn sitting there being like, let's grasp at straws to find a reason why you were there.
Yeah. Okay, here's my qualm. Okay. Please. He's brunette. No, he's not. He's fully like a dirty blonde.
Okay.
That pissed me off. I was like, this is the guy? He's not, he has that brown hair.
He also was too old.
Yeah, I agree. I wasn't gonna be mean, but like some people, you know, he could be late 20s, but like you don't say 20 to 30 then. You say he's probably in his early 30s. But like he also wasn't brunette. Just either hire a different actor, but he was great, to change the description, say dirty blonde. What?
I think even...
I was laser focused on looking at this guy's hair the whole time.
I was focused on his age. Because because Ariel says young-ish, and then later they said like late 20s, maybe 30s. No offense to this actor, whose age I do not know. I to have a kid that is Toby's age, that man was too old to be who they, and not, okay, not necessarily he's too old to have been the person, he's too old for them to say he was young.
Yes, that I agree with.
Right? Like, if you said he was young, I would expect him to have a boyish face, to look even younger.
I feel like they literally had someone else queued up for this role. They dropped out. Replaced him with a great guy, but didn't rewrite the lines around it. What are you guys doing? That's just not him.
Regarding the fingerprints on the window, Deanna in the chat says the weirdest rabbit hole. Totally. How we ended up at the hardware store, whatever. And Alexis says no one does windows these days. I was also thinking about that in that, like, the window was installed in 2022.
Yeah, no one's washing it.
They missed that top corner.
That's literally crazy. I thought that was against it. I was like, that is a long time ago to have done that and still have fingerprints on it.
I just was like, it would have been nice to have like a swipe next to it. So like, it looked like somebody tried to reach the corner.
Yeah.
Hilarious. Okay, so we get our second victim.
I want to talk a little more about our first one though.
Please.
Because I'm so shocked it didn't exactly play out like this. But like it was so psycho-coded. Like the whole shower scene. I'm just like shocked you didn't reference Psycho. That definitely seems like something SVU would have done. Also, losing 20% of your blood is crazy. That's so much blood. That I can't even believe you can survive having lost 20%. How much blood can you lose and still live?
That sounds like something you should Google.
Okay, here we go.
That sounds like something you should Google, Taylor.
How much blood?
While you're Googling that, yes?
According to Healthline, an average adult loses more than 40% of their blood.
Mm.
However, people typically die from losing half to two-thirds of their blood. This is the stupid AI overview. Google, take that off. But 40% seems to be.
Okay.
You can generally lose about 14 without any major side effects, so you may feel dizzy or lightheaded. Wow! The more you know. 40% is what seems to be it. Wow, she could have lost 20% more and been okay, maybe. That's really crazy, though. That seems like a large percentage. Anyway.
All right. Like I said, there's a content warning on this episode. We're going to talk a lot about blood today.
Hey, that's science, though, baby.
Let's talk about the second victim, Sarah. So there's a moment before we even meet her, before the or press conference-y, whatever. There's a moment where Benson says to Finn that the real guy probably saw that they gave credit to someone else and is now escalating, is trying to prove himself. That does not come into play at all, which that is a common thing that we've seen where there's a serial killer, or a serial rapist, and they find somebody, they find a suspect or whatever, and the person gets mad because somebody else is getting credit for their crimes, is getting the publicity and the attention that they want. That does not come into play in this at all. It seems interesting to have thrown that out there, especially because it also doesn't feel like he escalated in some way. At this point, and maybe he didn't escalate because it got interrupted, but it just, if you're going to have that line, then either at some point he needs to acknowledge, I did this for whatever reason and I wanted the attention or fame or notoriety or whatever, or this should, this just seems like such a weird statement to throw out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was all kind of flattered with just ideas that didn't super lead anywhere.
You mean a roommate that was slutty that could have been the reason he was in the house?
Yeah, exactly.
I literally spent so long being the roommate.
Yeah.
Okay. So this new victim, Sarah, played by Paloma Dominguez, also an incredible performance, and a brilliant move.
Yeah, I really like it when they think really fast like that. I think that's really interesting.
It was so interesting. She tried to get him talking. She tried to, one of the things they always say is to humanize yourself to your attacker or whatever, so that they, maybe feel something. But then he showed her the gun and she was this seemed important to him. So I, tried to pretend that I cared. And then I saw the holster. And that because her creepy neighbor was trying to get lucky, scared him away.
Yeah.
Loved.
I like that too.
Yeah. Loved. Okay. Then we find out that the holster said MARSOC, MARSOC, which is the United States Marine Forces Special Operations Command.
Yeah, I like that too, because she originally just said MAR. So I was like, okay, initials, we need to be, because I thought it was, just the three initials. And then the fact that it was expanded, I was like, oh, that's smart, because they kind of led me down the wrong path, but in a clever way. So I like that.
I agree. I think also her being I saw MAR, I didn't see the rest. I was like, probably this is Marine.
Yeah, that's smart. I was just MAR, who do we know? That was the person who had last name R. That's right. What I was thinking of.
Oh, for sure. That also would have been great. Okay. This takes us to Finn versus Toby.
Oh my God.
First, Finn just shoots down, flat out rejects Velasco for a beer.
Good for him. As you should.
I mean, if I were Velasco, I'd be like, dude, what the fuck?
He did. He was not happy. He was upset.
He didn't, he wasn't as upset as he should have been.
Yeah, that's fair. He's a little offended.
Yeah. And then Toby found his address by online. And my question is, why aren't we more concerned that his address is easy to find?
Yeah.
Deanna in the chat says, they keep Googling the cops this season. Remind me, Deanna, of a previous one, because it's not coming straight to my brain. But why are they not more upset?
Yeah, he was way too chill about this whole thing, frankly.
You mean when he glued his own wound?
Yeah, I was like, sir, do you see the... You're losing 20% of your blood.
Oh, Dutch tears. Thanks, thanks. Oh, and Noah, Noah Googled. Nice. So funny. She's talking about when Noah Googled. Yeah, sorry, guys. Yeah. My bad. I forgot about that. But also Dutch tears. He also basically Googled Finn.
Yeah.
Broke into his house. Oh, man.
Oh, Finn. Get it together. You...
Finn's address apparently is very available online.
Yeah.
And if that is the case, does anyone know where it is? Next time I'm in New York, I will go find the exterior. As I tend to do when I go to New York. It's find SVU exteriors. All right. He needs to move. Yeah.
He does.
I do like this when he went to drop off the gun. I do like his story of my neighbor lady found it. It was probably some kids. Then he turned it in. I like that. I like the idea that in theory, if you find a gun, you can get it safely taken away.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there used to be in the 90s, and I'm assuming it's still a thing, but I actually don't know. But I know like in the 90s, there were like places you could drop off guns.
Yeah, I think there are.
It's not like safe havens, which is where you can drop off babies,
mm-hmm.
Which I've heard of. I don't know. Yes.
You could drop off literally anything anywhere, you guys.
Listen, I'm about to start going to police stations to drop it off. Babies and guns.
Hello.
Where am I getting these babies and guns?
I don't know, but you're going to get a 2-for-1 special today.
Oh, man. Now I'm imagining a baby holding a gun. Anyway.
Which is essentially what happened with Toby.
Yes. When he dropped it, I thought it was going to go off again.
Me too. But the way he dropped it is like literally me dropping a gun. Like, I'm so scared. And he was so freaked out. Like, his little scream. I was like, me. Like, literally me.
Well, yeah.
It was just funny. He acted so tough and he was so scared. And I was like, so true, honestly.
Danny in the chat said, can we talk about how a 13-year-old got a gun off the streets? Has no one learned anything from Jenna when she got the gun and shot up the precinct and smoked? Great example, Danny. That was Stabler's last episode before he came back. Hilarious. Alexa says, how does Finn keep getting held up at gunpoint twice? Yeah. Yeah. I will say this. Finn has been shot before. At least like previous squad before we got all these new people, Benson has never been shot. 25 seasons, Benson has never been shot. She does not have a bullet wound anywhere on her body. Finn should have scarring from previous bullet wounds. Yep. Rollins has been shot.
Yep.
Amara was shot.
Yep.
Was it a Munch got shot in the butt? Stabler got shot a few times and blown up. Anytime Dana Lewis was around.
I was going to say Dana Lewis.
Yeah. Kragan got shot? I don't remember.
I don't know.
Whatever. Benson's never been shot somehow.
She's been many other things, but.
Yeah. Weird. Very odd. I like that he blamed Keto. Finn. Love it.
That was so funny. Okay.
Oh, Alexa. Alexa, you're doing great. Coming in. Benson got shot at the end of last season with birdshot. That's right. When there was the crossover with organized crime.
That's true. But organized crime
doesn't count.
Crossovers. At...
But also buckshot doesn't count. Birdshot, whatever, doesn't count.
If you're crossing over with the Chicago or organized crime, like, it's not canon in my mind. So sorry.
Wow.
I don't like a crossover at all.
All right, but it is canon.
Well, not to me.
She's never been injured with a bullet. I'm going to go with that.
There you go.
But now I remember there's like the scene with him carrying her out of the room. And he's blind.
Yeah.
Ugh. What an episode. All right. We eventually get to Glenn Duncan, our guy.
What a name. Glenn Duncan. I love it.
Played by Eric Olson, and his girlfriend Jane, played by Katie Housley. Just some names. Oh, just the desk sergeant Sorrentino is played by Nicholas Mungiardo Cooper. Just giving everybody shout outs.
Yes. This whole scene was so anticlimactic because we just had one like this that was more entertaining. We just had a hostage situation, and this one just went way too fast. We didn't get any of the fun hostage stuff out of it.
Not just that. Okay. I'm not saying that Glenn Duncan did not deserve to die. I am saying that a cop bursts in and says, put your gun or drop your weapon, and then shoots him.
Yeah.
I don't know police shoot law, but I'm pretty sure when you tell them to drop their weapon, you're supposed to give them a chance to do it before you fire. And I like paused and went back to make sure that I didn't miss it. Between the words drop your weapon and a bullet in Glenn Duncan's head, there were no shots fired.
Mm-hmm.
So Glenn Duncan did not shoot back. He did before, but then they shot him in the head.
Yeah.
Just a minor thing. Alexa, we'll come back to your keto comment in a second. I'm going to get on a high horse about keto in a bit. Also, Glenn's girlfriend, where is my note? When she says, what about Jane? He goes, we've decided we're going out together. Her face was like, we did what now?
We certainly did not do that.
Also, the fact that she, like the way that it went down and she got out just fine, seemed unlikely.
Yeah. He was going to kill me. Okay, well, he didn't. You're fine. That's so mean of me. I would be freaking out. But, like, story-wise, you're literally fine.
I will say I do like... This is so weird to say that I like this. I like that she was like, I thought he was cheating, and I found all these
yeah, nannies. Yeah.
And then it turns out that they are his souvenirs.
Oof.
So I like that we have this clear tie. It's interesting that we mention what happened before he was discharged, right? That he had sexually assaulted a female soldier. We don't have like a motive or a reason why he was doing this. I agree.
Yep.
And I know that in reality, there isn't always a reason why people are monsters. The world sometimes sucks and people just are shitty. I'm aware of that. But this is a television show.
Yes.
This is fictional and it's drama and it's to entertain us. And I think that the why matters on television. I mean, the why matters in general, but especially in my entertainment.
Agree. And like, they went down this path of, he joined the military because he had wanderlust. What? Like, first of all, stupid. Like, you're not, like, you don't join the military if you have wanderlust. I guess some people do, but insane. No offense to anyone out there, but even the way they worded it was just weird. Not like, oh, he wanted to see the world. He wanted to try. He had wanderlust. Like, okay, that like didn't fit to me. And yeah, we didn't get any like kind of motive or tie-in to like anything of the rest of the episode. It's just like so fast explanation. Barely. Barely was an explanation even.
Yeah. I think it just seems so weird to have spent so much time down such weird paths.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the first episode this season that we haven't received a like motive or understanding. Or even like just literally one line of like, you know, this was revenge for something or whatever. Alex asked, like, why did he use the gun? Also a good question, and we'll get to my theory on that later. Anyway, I just felt like there were so many missed opportunities in this episode because we spent so long searching for a reason why that fingerprint was there. Less so on the discussion of how the judicial system sometimes really screws someone over.
Yeah, because that was the message, but like, was it? Because we kind of didn't really do a lot with that.
It literally reminded me of last episode where I had said, this man shows up, says that he did something, so they put him behind bars, and he's clearly innocent. And I had said, like, yeah, it would take a lot to get him out. So now we have that situation, and yet we're not discussing that aspect of it, is that now this man who's innocent is stuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And then we end it with Finn and Toby. Literally, the conversation starts. I was so angry. Finn is talking to the kid and he says, you're a good kid. And he's about to keep talking. And the kid runs off to his father. No, he's not. He's not a good kid. He is a piece of crap who doesn't listen, who does whatever he wants. He feels real entitled to ignore the adult authority figure talking to him. And so entitled that he literally brought a gun towards this man.
Yeah.
Everyone knows how I feel about children, so I'm very, very, very annoyed about this kid. Then Finn is like, hey, let me talk to your kid for a second. Hey, be a good dad. And be like, no, whatever you're going to say to my child, I should be there.
Yeah.
And then also be there to find out that your child either found or took one of your guns and pulled it on a cop and then shot him.
And it's getting off, like, so easy.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. I kind of, like, you know, like, he's going through trauma. His dad was unjustly in custody, all this stuff. But, like, really?
But without his father knowing that this happened, this kid just got away with this.
The whole thing. It wasn't even, it might have been different if he just like had a gun and was pointing it, but like he fully shot a man.
Also, Toby should return in the future as a criminal because he's gotten away with it before. He can do whatever he wants too, now.
Born psychopath.
Yeah.
The execution of the second one was a little bit interesting, but I like the idea of people returning, whether for good, like with Maria, or for bad, like with Toby.
I genuinely was talking about this last night, how much I want Ludacris to return.
Yeah, Luda.
There's
so many people I want to return.
But Darius's story should absolutely be coming back. Anyway. That's ideas.
You need Patricia Arquette back.
Oh, for sure.
Nene is such a fascinating character. Where is she? Yeah. I hope she's doing well.
All right, let's talk about this final storyline. I think we're wrapping shit up with the Maddie Flynn stuff, but it sounds like we're besties with her mom. Okay, first of all, when she freaks out about the photos, And then her mom is like, I don't know how to be a good mom. She's a teenager. This is reasonable. I'm going to be honest. I have turned to my mother and go, don't take photos.
Yeah, but that's not why she did it.
I know, but that's you behave, that behavior. And then the response of, oh my God, I'm going to be, I don't know how to be a mom to her. This is, you're doing fine. This is fine.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm not gonna vouch for Maddie's mom unless I have to. But I feel that because like this kid has been through insane amounts of trauma. It's already, I'm assuming, hard enough to raise a kid who's like somewhat well adjusted and hasn't gone through all of this. So I think that's fair. Like I feel like there was probably a lot of other stuff that happened besides just the photo, and the photo just triggered like, oh my God, another thing I didn't think about, and I'm ruining her life, like all of this stuff. So I will give it to her there. I think that's reasonable on both their ends.
I'll allow it. But all I could think was like, that's how teenagers are.
Yeah.
Okay. And then how do you feel about Olivia giving her the compass?
Okay. Like, okay, why?
I'll say this. So all I could think was, this is not the first time she has given away her jewelry, her like meaningful jewelry, but this is the first, like the last one I felt like was, you just met this woman. That feels so strange. So this one made sense to me. And when she explains it to Stabler in the phone call, of course he understands. He knows her. When she says, I lent it to someone, a victim's mother. If Stabler was like, obviously, that's the most Benson thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
That said, this one is more like, this one's from Stabler. That seems odd that you would give it to someone else.
Also, like, their relationship is just so weird. Like, they were so, I mean, they've always had their issues and weird, you know, nuances and stuff, but this like phone call, and I saw some people on Twitter saying the same thing, and I'm sorry, I should start writing down these usernames, but people were like, it sounded like she was like drafting an email. Like, it did not sound like their dynamic, which I agree, it was very stiff. It was very weird that, I mean, I'm sure that there's like scheduling stuff, but the fact that they couldn't even meet up was very odd. Like, why was it a phone call like that? It just felt like very, we felt like we were getting somewhere like deeper with them on, no matter if it was platonic, romantic, whatever, just like in terms of closeness and trusting each other. And this felt like super formal for them. And it didn't really feel like them to me, I guess.
Interesting. Alexa says, it was an open-ended rejection to me. And Deanna says, I thought it meant she was over Stabler. Wow. Alexa also says she hated it. Why would you give away something that someone from someone who loves you? And Daryl's the opposite, says it was sweet. All valid reasonings and points. I was so focused on the fact that obviously he would understand this move on her. Because if I'm trying to think of like something I would give to somebody that I love that's meaningful to me, and they were like somebody else who needed it, and I understand it in this scenario because that's a very Benson move, but it does feel odd, and the whole scene was odd. It's the way that it then, like, we left the room and watched her laughing. I almost wish that would have been before. Like, we'd come into her laughing and being like, hey, I need to tell you, like, this thing happened.
Yeah. It was just, it was strange, the whole thing to me. And I felt like they're trying to do something to be like, this is still a person in her life. I like my, but like, it just didn't read. It just didn't really work for me.
I also, personally, I think this relationship between Benson and Maddie's mom, I hate it. Because
I don't understand it.
Frankly. Yeah, it doesn't feel, that doesn't feel like a friendship to me.
Yeah, it's not, because like, no offense, but if you meet under those circumstances with the sort of like quote unquote power dynamics that are at play there, like, it's not a friendship. Like, she's, like your therapist in a way, but she's not a licensed therapist. And it just feels inappropriate. I feel like in like a year or so, that could be different. And this is going to sound super mean, and I don't mean it to be, but like a friendship is not just one person like dumping another person. Like, it's not a friendship. Like, well, Olivia has a savior complex. Like, love the woman to death. She does. Let's be so real. So it's like, what is she getting out of this dynamic? Like, it's one thing to like want to help someone, and I think that's totally fine. But you can't twist it and frame it as a friendship then, because that's not what it is, and that's what the show is trying to do. And if you look at the pieces and the dynamics, that's not what it is. Because Olivia doesn't really tell her, I mean, not that we've seen at least, like light things about their life, whatever. Like,
she doesn't tell her about her own child or life.
Right. It's just, it's a one-way thing. And like, yes, Olivia's getting things out of it, but it's not healthy getting things out of it. She needs boundaries.
I'm with you. Also, like, correct me if I'm misremembering, but during Maddie's trial, the mom like yells at her like, Maddie can't go through this again. And then the mom has the weird like texting relationship with George, mm-hmm. right? Like, and
yeah.
So like this woman, she needs help. And we, you know, we're hearing that she's getting help, that the parents are working things through, because let's also remember earlier, the dad tried to kill himself. Like, everyone in this family has so much shit going on.
Yeah.
And yes, they do need friends and support, but Benson is not her friend. They don't do anything or talk about anything that is not related to Maddie and this case.
Yeah. That we've seen, at least.
Right.
If they want it to imply that they talk about other stuff, fine. But even that's weird because of where you started and how soon after it was, frankly.
I think also, when Benson gives it to her and she's like, you can return it whenever you want. It's not like we'll lose touch. We're family. I was like, are you? And will we see this woman again? Because after Maddie disappeared, the first time that Benson got involved with the family, right? Like after the case started, Benson and the squad are on the case. The next time that she got a call, it was when the father was in the hospital for his suicide attempt.
Yeah.
So it seems that's how you built, that's where the friendship began, is you were the only person that's the other thing. You're the only people they know.
Yeah, because all their people are in San Francisco.
Where there's less crime.
Where there's more crime.
Oh, there's more crime. My
bad. What was I going to say? Yeah, I also thought it was weird because Daryl said, I doubt we will see them next season. And I also doubt we will see them next season. But then why having the line of like, you could borrow it, like you can return it anytime. Like, it's yours. Like, we're never going to see her return that. And if we do, it's going to be a weird scene that doesn't fit.
I mean, honestly, my thought was when she says, it's not like we'll lose touch, we're family. That's what I went, why would you say that? Because I guarantee we're not seeing this woman again.
Yeah, agreed.
So if next season starts with them sitting down to lunch and being like, Maddie's great, how's Noah? Fine. You have now given me a friendship.
Here's your necklace back.
Yes. You know what I mean?
Yes. But I like, there's a 99% chance it's not happening, but I agree with you.
Anyway, some actor shout outs, Eileen again, Leslie Frey, and Peter, the father, Zach Robidas. And Maddie all season long, Allison Elaine. Hilarious. All right, there's still so much I want to talk about. So let's do lines.
Okay.
All right, where's my thing? Best lines. I feel like I need a sound cue. All right, shall I go first? Because I assume I have less.
Sure.
Okay, so this is an interaction between Carisi and Benson early on, and it's both of them. So Carisi says, is that you being diplomatic? And she says, I'm trying to keep an open mind. He said, that's easy for you to say, you don't work for her. And she says, I'm not sure that she knows that.
Yes.
Fantastic. when Ariel says it was a gun, I don't know a lot about
it. I was like, me too, girl. I would not know what to say.
I was like, that is so real. It was black and fit in his hand.
Yeah.
I think this was a thin line. It was, I envy anyone she hasn't met. Vicious. It was about
all of these. Russell. They're all so good.
This one we need to talk about. Bruno says, I went to trade school before I became a cop. I never used it, but it made me pretty popular on dating apps. Did it?
Oh, I can totally see. Yeah. I mean, from an outsider's perspective, right. I'm not interested in that. No. But
people in the chat who have interest in men, could you let us know, does him being in trade school, obviously for like construction, interior design, house building-ness, handyman stuff, does that appeal to you more or less equally to him being a cop? Or separately of him being a cop? I would just love to know where those who sleep with men find this.
I would say, again, outsider perspective.
Hence why I not asked you, but
on. I'm telling you anyway. That means you're like handy around the house and can like fix things and like that's true. The implication. And like muscled, you would like, that would be implied maybe like construction, working, you know, all of that kind of like a rugged whatever. A cop is a turn off for me personally.
But again,
if I were Bruno, I would just lead with handyman and keep cop out of there. That's just me.
All right. Thank you. Okay. Two more lines. One is, I'll yell at you later. I look forward to that. And then this is a Stabler line. You're the only person I know who could lose a compass.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
All right, hit it.
I just love Ariel on the phone. You mean Evan's friend? What a douche. Like, I just love the side conversations that like don't matter at all, but the lines are funny anyway. Weekend warrior, LARPing as a soldier. We love a LARP shout out whenever we can get one. Go home to your lives if you have one. What did you tell the doctor that I walked into a mirror? Well, you always have been your own worst enemy. And finally, it's like pulling a U-turn on a cruise ship. So good.
So good. All right. To answer the question about handyman versus cop, here is what the chat says. I said people. I'm not making assumptions here, but I want to clarify that I did say I was looking for people who are interested in being with men, but fine. Daryl says, I feel like it is about money in this instance. Danny says, I'd swipe if it's a construction than cop, fine. Trade school means more money because cops have domestic abuse issues.
Exactly, Daryl. Exactly.
Daryl, you make an excellent point. That is true. Deanna, thank you. Ace perspective. I have no clue.
Real, honestly. Thanks.
Thank you for your honesty. Alexa says more because it means I don't have to do it, but I also just love Bruno. That's true. And then Daryl says Bruno's had like three lives, I swear. Totally. I agree with you, honestly. I think that Bruno's, I'm going to say it right here on the air. Bruno's pictures alone would make me swipe yes.
Bruno is series regular material.
I agree.
Title theme material.
Totally. All right. Those were best lines. Okay. So we don't have any TV news, but Danny asked if next season we're going to get a full season. I believe that is the case. The reason we had a short season was due to the strikes. So 13 episodes is impressive with the amount of time that they had. Danny agrees. He is hot. True. So there's that. It's time for shower thoughts.
Hey.
I came prepared.
Oh, thank God. Did you get your pencil?
Okay. So for those, I'm going to just start.
Yeah.
For our friends who are listening in the shower or the bath or a pool, any body of water, as long as you're wet. Taylor winked if you're listening.
Which, like, you don't have to be near a pool of water for that. But anyway. That's
correct. As I was saying, the question from Taylor was, did I get my shower paper? I have it in my cart to be purchased.
Yes.
It is being purchased, friends. I am buying shower paper. So all future episodes should have shower thoughts prepared.
It's like what you thought about in the shower. Maybe that's our new segment, as we reframe it. So what did we think about in the shower?
Well, but the whole idea is for our friends who are listening in the shower.
Yeah, but we can share what we were thinking about so then they can think about the same thing.
Well, hilariously, this episode had a shower. And true. I thought, as watching this, how impressive that frosted glass was. Mm-hmm. I was very impressed, which made me wonder, for our friends listening in the shower, do you have curtains or a glass door?
Do you want me to answer?
Yeah, Taylor, do you have curtains or a glass door?
Well, this is a very interesting question because I currently have a curtain, but I am moving very soon and that has a glass door. And I'm so excited because glass door screams luxury to me. And I don't even know if that's true, but it screams it to me because when I was little and I lived at home, me and my sister's bathroom had a curtain. My parents' shower had a glass door and I always was so jealous. I always wanted to go shower in the one with the glass door because I could draw little pictures on the fog cup thing, and I thought it was just so cool. And I, if my sister and I had a shower at the same time, I'd always call dibs on getting to shower in my parents' shower because of the glass door. And so the fact I get one of my own so soon is so exciting.
But is it frosted?
I mean, no, it just steams up when you get in there, but then that's better because you can draw on it.
All right. I have glass doors. Glass walls, and it's not frosted. Daryl reminds us that Brits have neither. You have a plexiglass thingy that's just half the length. I genuinely do not understand it. It's
hotels have started doing that too.
We've talked about this on the air.
I hate it so bad. Why are we doing that? Give me a whole door. The whole floor is wet now.
So in some countries, the shower itself doesn't have anything. Mm-hmm. It's just a room, like in the bathroom, the corner, and a drain. And so the entire bathroom gets wet. But people have I don't know what it's called. Not a mop, not a broom. It has like a plastic edge.
Squeegee.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I could not find the word squeegee in my head. My brain was like sponge. I was like, that's not it. But you have just like a squeegee on a, like a long squeegee, like it's a broom to clean your, to like help get the water down. It's
why
so
would I want an extra step?
Yeah.
No.
Anyway. So odd. Okay. And this is a wet room. Everyone's saying it's called a wet room.
Yeah,
there's like a name.
I think that's
for it?
When a shower is just in its room by itself, which is a thing. I was in a hotel a couple months ago now that there's just a room for the shower. Like you just open the door and then the shower was there. It was very weird.
I don't understand. Yeah. And my last shower thoughts is about keto, because it was brought up earlier that keto does work for some people. And here is all I will say. Because I don't want to go on a long tangent on like the toxicity of diet culture, but keto specifically is a diet that was created for people with epilepsy. It was very specifically to solve a problem or make things better for people with a specific condition or issue. The fact that some people use it to lose weight tells you that you are doing something that is not necessarily right for your body, but also it's a lot of diets. When you stop doing them, your body immediately reverts to how it was before. Now, I've gone on many tangents on many other platforms about diet culture and doing things like that. But I just wanted people to know that sometimes people will do a diet, will look into it, will be like, I've heard of this great thing. All of a sudden, I'm gluten-free. Gluten-free comes from people who have celiacs, which is a condition where their body cannot absorb the nutrients of gluten. So just think about why it is that you're doing it and where that diet comes from and what the purpose of it is. So keto doesn't necessarily work for everybody because it's not supposed to. It's not a weight loss method. It is for people with epilepsy. Just some thoughts, just some things to think about. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those have been our shower thoughts. I keep pausing as though we still have the dun-dun button, and I really am bummed that we don't.
Really tried it.
Yeah. All right. It's time for What Did We Learn? Taylor, you may begin.
Sure. I just learned something little. I didn't realize that they called lineup six packs, and I thought that was really interesting.
The six packs, the photos.
Yeah. Which I just, maybe they've said it before, but I didn't really retain that. And so I'm like, a six pack. I love that we call it that. It's like a fun little thing you're like bringing to a cookout or something.
Nice.
Six pack.
I thought you were going to go with the Marsoc.
I mean, I learned that too, but that wasn't as fun as the six pack.
All right. That's fair. All right, friends. Here's what's happening. I have been all season long slash probably many seasons talking about how the show will introduce different kinks and fetishes and treat them very poorly. And while this episode did not necessarily bring it up specifically, it was alluded to quite a lot. So we're going to talk about, I'm probably mispronouncing how this is pronounced, hematologia, which is blood play.
Mm.
So people who are turned on by blood. So, So it's people who are interested in blood or blood-like images used in sexual pleasure and sexual play. So, for example, period sex would be a form of blood play. This perp seemed to, as we heard from Ariel, was fascinated by watching her bleed and then showed his gun to Sarah to show off the blood dried on the gun. Okay. So anyway, just some things that I thought we'd all want to learn together.
I would like to add something to this, and that's because I get on Twitter, something went viral recently.
Oh.
And it was, I just need everyone to look it up. It was, I'm trying to remember who sold it. I want to say it was like IKEA or something, but there was this like comforter, and it was like a rose petal stain comforter, and it straight up looks like a crime scene. It's so funny. People are like, would you buy this? And everyone was like, no, that's scary. So I just need everyone to look up like rose petal bedding or whatever, and it's so funny because it straight up looks like someone died on that blanket, and it's supposed
to be. Do you have the ability to share screen?
I can certainly try.
No, I just don't know if you're allowed to. Okay.
Or somehow, yeah. I'll send it in
email. Oh, or put in the private chat.
Oh,
yeah,
I can't do that. Do pictures. I'll email to you really fast right now, so you can. Wait, show you can attach it.
Oh, can you send me a link on the private chat?
Oh yeah,
because then I'll pull it up, guys. Yeah. I'm so sorry.
Of course, yeah. I just need everyone to see how funny it is.
I mean this with love, but we all need to see weird shit together.
It's so funny.
Oh my god. All right, friends, hold on 1 sec. I'm gonna share screen. it's bad.
It's so funny.
Oh man. Okay, hold on. Okay. All right. So hold on. No thanks. Come on. Close this ad so everyone can see this awful photo.
It's like the Daily Mail or whatever, but the
if you're listening, Oh no. If you're listening on the audio only, I'm going to try to describe this. So it's a white bedspread, but there's splotches, I guess, of roses. But there's like multiple splotches of them on the sides, and like the center is cleanish. And then the pillows look like a head exploded on them.
I love it. I'm obsessed. I think it's so funny.
Yeah, thank you for, thank you.
Of course, Taylor. Anytime.
So funny. Oh, Deanna says, I could love it if I was a vampire. Yeah, amazing. Anyway, I just wanted to let everyone know about Blood Play, because I think that this show, again, like this season, we had dendrophilia, we had voyeurism, we had, now we have Blood Play. I'm not saying that the people in these episodes that have done these terrible things should be treated, you know, whatever. I'm just saying these are things that exist and do not always result in causing harm and are not necessarily tied to harm. But because a show like this continues to stigmatize them, it's just something to think about, especially because blood play, this is important, does not always involve cutting skin. It does not always involve harm. And that knife play is different than blood play. But sometimes they are related, but are not necessarily together. Anyway, that's what I learned. Not that I didn't know about blood play, but I learned a lot more about blood play.
Love it.
Thanks. Thanks for giving me a platform, friends, where I can just talk about weird kinks and fetishes in positive ways. Okay. So this, as we've said, is the season finale. The season is over. But at some point this summer, we will do our Wongathon, which was recommended by Nikki Chris. I have it noted. Hashtag show me your Wong. Wong spelled H-U-A-N-G. I have collected some suggestions that people have given us. Please feel free to comment on iTunes if you want us to do a Wong episode, or comment on our videos on YouTube. But before we wrap things up, do we have any other hopes for next season that we want to bring up? People that we want to see? While you think about it, we got a comment last episode that was very long, and I'm going to read just some parts of it. So the request for next season was to get rid of Sykes. It seems like she disappeared on us. Curry Velasco and Bruno either need to be fleshed out more or got rid of. Totally agree. Where was it? More courtroom drama would be good. I'm wary of a new ADA, honestly, with this episode. I totally get it. They also, this is from Kay Hirsch, was the person who made all of these suggestions. No plots that stretch multiple episodes, gangs, or evil higher ups. Now you're just cutting us off at the knees. And we want to know more about the detectives. Aside from Benson and Finn, everybody seems interchangeable. Thank you for that comment. We love it. So funny. Yeah, everyone's... Alexa wants to see Benson in a relationship next season. I want to see... If we're going to do this Elliot thing... And I believe we said she needed to tell him about Tucker, right? That's what, like, the show wants us to think.
I don't fucking know at this point.
I think she needs to tell him about Cassidy. I feel like the fact that he lived with her, right? Like, they lived together before she got Noah.
Does the show remember that, though?
Yes, I do.
Does the show?
I am all that matters.
Here's what I want.
Please.
Is Amanda coming back or not? You better tell me quick. I agree. I don't want a lot of stuff that spans multiple episodes. I want more weird twists, crazy turns, such as the little thumbtack game we got this season. I thought was crazy, and I want more stuff like that. I want more guest stars or people that we bring back, aka Patricia Arquette. We need a new babes. We need to see what those babes are doing now because they're teenagers, and I need an update immediately.
Deanna says, bring back Ludacris.
Bring back Ludacris. Bring back Dana Lewis. Marcia Harden's show got canceled, so she's got time.
She's available now.
She's available. I'm ready to see her back. And yeah, those are my main hopes.
I mean, the truth is, bare minimum, I just want our team to progress, right? Like, it's season 26. I think that there's so much more that we can see them doing. We've asked for more interesting cases, more modern cases. And I think that, like, there's so much that could be done. The perp is not always the same thing. Give us wild, crazy reasoning, but make it make sense.
Yeah, more diversity too in every way, our squad, as well as who our victims and perps are. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of, stereotypes, and I would like it to branch out a little and reflect New York a little bit better, frankly. Also, just like more gay people.
Yeah.
Nice gay people, main character gay people, evil gay people, all of them.
I mean, yeah. We love gays here.
We love gays.
I think there's just so much that could be done. But also, I think that, you know, we understand you're making a television show and there needs to be drama. A character like Kat, who was young and argued a lot with when the old school team would do something, I think that was very interesting. It made for entertaining drama, and it felt real.
More young people in the squad room.
I don't know that we need it to be just like a plucky young person who wants to learn. I think the fact that, you know, someone like Kat questioned them was what made it interesting. Have somebody who's not afraid to step up. But they don't need to be just another shade of Kat / Muncie / Churlish.
Yeah.
/ Velasco. Like, there are other. Remember when we met Velasco and he was undercover and it seemed like that was a thing that he did?
The thing is, like, he is good when he's like in his niches. Like, interrogations, he has done good when he's like partnered with someone who's like plays off him well. And undercover, he's good at, but they don't give him those chances a lot, and they should, because those are his, like, where he shines the most.
Yeah. I loved that Curry was an active part of this role, this episode. But what's happening with her, right? Like, she is a captain.
Yeah.
You made that whole stink about we have two captains now. And she seems to be totally comfortable with Benson, you know, telling her what to do. But, and I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure whoever's above them is going to be like, why do we have a captain? At the, like, we're paying her captain money, and she's doing detective work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, anyway, there's just so much that could happen. Season 26. We, of course, will be doing stuff this summer. As we said, the Wong-a-thon, show us your Wong. But until then, until we do that, and again, like, I don't know which dates, so make sure you've subscribed on iTunes and YouTube or whatever you prefer. But until then, Taylor, where are you on the internet and what are you up to these days if people want to check in with you?
Sure. I am on Twitter at @alphabet_Ann. I am on Instagram at @Taylor_Gaines_. I write stuff for Collider and Fanversation, which is where you're watching this right now. So you can check out all of my reviews, interviews, opinion pieces, whatnot. Both of those places. You can just Google my name and then the name of those outlets and they should all come up if you'd like to read my voice in addition to listening to it.
Love it. I am Yael Teagle. I am on Instagram at Yael Teagle. That's YAELTYGIEL. If you want to hear my thoughts on other shows, I would say much more clean thoughts on other shows like Leverage Redemption, The Ark, and Almost Paradise, check out the Electric Now app. If you would like to hear my opinion on smutty, filthy romance novels, specifically ones that deal with all sorts of fetishes and kinks like blood play, check out Good Little Library Mouse on Instagram. That one is not clean. Just know that. All right. Thanks, everybody. We've loved doing this all season long, and we will see you soon. Mwah. Bye. Yeah, do the heart.